We've been away for a couple of weeks due to Palm Sunday, and then also Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. We'll give a little. We'll read through it, and we'll give a little overbrief here. We're going to be in Luke 2, 21 through 40, okay? And can I go back to that title screen real quick? Thank you much. Humble Roots, Divine Destiny. He came from humble roots and had a divine destiny. Thank you so much. We'll have that title screen back up for you. It's a good time for you, by the way, whenever you see pictures like this, take your camera out. We want you to take pictures. If you're playing on your phone, that's one thing, but if you're taking what you learned, listen now, if you're taking what you learned in church and putting it on whatever your social media account is, please do that. Teach. Use this time to disciple. Rowdy is a fisherman, and y'all are fisher of mankind, right? You're fisher of men. All right. Let's go ahead and get that Luke, if you don't mind. Thank you so much. 8 days later, so can we, I don't think I have it. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. Let's stop right there. In the lead up to this, we had John the Baptist being born and talking about from the intertestamental period, that is 400 years of God not speaking prophecy. God's still working. He's just not speaking prophecy. And there's some other books that are there that speak to that. Some have validity. Some have a questionable outcome. And it's okay. It's still revealing a lot of what God did. Some of my favorite readings are from the Maccabees, 1 and 2. I really like that because it shows the time when the oil was, they had raided the temple. The oil was low, was very low. They needed enough oil for 7 days, right? And they only had enough for 1 day. And God made that oil last for 8 days while they were refining, their getting their stock refreshed. I love that story because when I see the menorah, when I see that menorah, I know that God took care of them during that time. That was the intertestamental period. And then he spoke in an audible tone through Gabriel. Gabriel was a messenger. I need you to go talk to Wom. Boom! And he's right there with Zechariah. Zechariah was old. Say old. Old. Do the beard. Old. He was old, right? And he had to be under 50. He couldn't be over 50 as a priest, right? Or a rabbi. So he was kind of, well, maybe a shorter old. He was old. Old. And his wife, he says, how can we have a baby? We're so old. How can we have a baby? And guess what? Oh, Gabriel, he didn't clown around. He said, you're going to shut up. Do you want to know where the hallelujah came from? His wife outside. Yes, he's not going to talk for 9 months. Yes. No, I'm kidding. Football season does that for Mary Lou for me. He had to pay that penalty. But John the Baptist and Jesus were both named before they were born. They were both named at the descending angel, if you will. And he gave both names also with that. And John the Baptist, we call him JTB affectionately. He was born 3 months earlier in Christ. You know, and there's that whole time when Mary's coming on down, right? She's fresh pregnant, and she walks up, and all of a sudden JTB is like, dude, in the tummy. Right? He's like, oh, and they jumped, and guess what? The Holy Spirit filled Mama, right? Oh, my gosh. You don't think that there's not a Holy Spirit that works with the littles? You remember that little baby over there crying earlier when we first started? Well, guess what I was doing over here? Lord, would you bring calm to her? And her mom takes that pacifier, and I saw her take the super glue and kidding, she didn't do that. It was just Elmer's glue. He can move in a child that did not physically see Jesus in Mary coming forth, but he sensed the presence of the Most High. Isn't that something? That's something, dude. That's the first acknowledgement of Christ outside of Mary and Joseph that one had. And that movement within her tummy, boom, loaded up the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth, and she's just like, what? That was a lot, you know? I love the time. I love seeing that story because God says, okay, all this prophecy is spoken here. And now here's the new stuff coming, the new covenant coming. That's what we were studying about 4 weeks ago. A couple weeks from then was the swaddled Savior. You know, what happened is he's born in where? Okay. Town? Town? Bethlehem. House of bread. I'm the bread of life, daily bread, yeehaw. Yeehaw's amen, in case you don't know. So house of bread. But who was born there too? David? Anointed there, yes. Shepherd turned king, shepherd king. Jesus, good shepherd, born in house of bread. There's a lot of shepherding going around there, right? Well, guess what? That baby's born, and what? Who do the angels come to first? They come to the most grand person with the gold and the frock. And no, dude, they went to the one with the flock, the ones that were outcasts. Let me tell you something. As a shepherd, bro, there's no, I just need some me time. And if you said it probably in sheep language, I need some me time. No, there was none of that. There was none of that. When you were watching livestock, there is no vacation. You guys ever raise livestock or have livestock? I know we have. Yep, you know. Okay. There's no getting away from it. There's no summer vacation in VBS, which is coming up soon, by the way, a little advertisement. There is you with the sheep, and if you sleep, it's a good day. If it lightnings, thunders, bad dog, bad coyote, bad mountain lion come, you're awake and you're on the job. And oh, by the way, you don't even get to go to synagogue unless you have an under shepherd, which is a second or third. And here the shepherds get to find out. And you know, the shepherds, I don't know if you knew this, but they would swaddle one that was going to be sacrificed in the temple. They would swaddle so it wouldn't get touched by another. They would swaddle that. Then they would know that that swaddled sheep, lamb, whatever, when they swaddled that lamb, that was going to be set aside to be used as a sacrifice in the temple. So people that didn't have lambs could come in, put their money down, get a lamb, go in there for your sins. I know that I do that a lot and that grosses you out, but Jesus was beat so bad that you could not see him as human on a cross. It's not, I mean, Mary and I in the Catholic Church, they had this beautiful crucifixion with Jesus on there. He's got a couple of holes and one in the dig and in the foot, right? That's not what it looked like. He was naked on the cross because they gambled for his clothes, and it was prophesied 500 to 600 years before, right? And here we are doing all of this, and he does not look like a human and still says, Father, forgive him. For if they knew you, they wouldn't do this to you. Got a little quiet, didn't it? You know why? Because you're feeling the weight of what he was born to. Why did the angels announce, say, hey, go check out what was he born in? A stable, and there'll be a child swaddled and put in a manger. Why did he have to tell him swaddle? Swaddle was kind of a thing, but that marking was, they knew they were waiting for the Messiah. They knew what swaddling meant to us. We're going, oh, he had, but wrap him up like a burrito, right? That's what we think today, but I got to tell you then, that was a very key thing for those shepherds to know when they came in, that is the Lamb of God that's going to be sacrificed for us. You can't look at swaddling the same way. You just can't. When you hear somebody ever down, wherever you go to church, wherever you hear online, and that baby was swaddled, you'll be going, that was an identifier for the shepherds. God cares about the disenfranchised. He cares about the ones of great wealth, too, just to let you know. We have this on our little wristband, 2 Peter 3:9. You know, go read it. You'll figure it out. 2 Peter 3:9. He cares about all of his creation. He cares about you. That's all the lead up to where we are today. And we'll go with that scripture. So all of that's happened. The baby's here. The shepherds are going, woohoo! And oh, by the way, you want to know who the first evangelists were? Were the shepherds. Did you know that? Dude, they're like, swaddled. You got to see this. That kid was swaddled in the manger. That is the Messiah. The shepherds spoke. The humble, the quiet, the ones that were reserved but to dialogue with the sheep spoke about Jesus. You have that ability. Many of you have amazing education in the Holy Spirit in the Bible, right? Some of you don't, and by the way, it don't matter, because them shepherd guys, they knew enough to know that that was him being the one. That's where we are today, humble roots. 8 days, this is it. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named what?
Jesus.
Let's do it together. He was named what?
Jesus.
The name given him by who?
The
angel. Whoa, God knew what he wanted to name him. I hated my name. My name is David B. Pierce. I would never tell anybody what the B stood for. I hated my name. I even spelled it with dyslexic backwards, and it spelled brain. I sent the David means beloved as of God. Brian, B-R-I-A-N, means great strength or depth of strength. And Pierce, my last name, is Peter, is rock. Once I found out what my middle name meant, strength, I'm like, thanks, Mom. Before he's even conceived. Please, next slide. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Why did he go to Jerusalem? That's how the law worked, right? Next, thank you there. The law of the Lord says, if a woman first, a child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. Did you catch that, firstborn boys? What if there's no firstborn boys? No need. So they offered a sacrifice required of the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named what? Simeon. Say it with me. Simeon. And he was righteous and devout. What does that tell you about him? He was righteous, so he lived rightly among men because he lived rightly among God. Was he a sinner? Yes. Did he make mistakes? I'm sure. But he was devout. What does that tell you? He was devoted unto the Lord, right? And was eagerly waiting for the Messiah. Check that word, eagerly. What are you guys usually, I'm eager to get out of here today. I'm eager to get in here and get my food in my gut. I'm eager to go hang out with my family. I know you're eager to go eat birthday cake because it's your birthday. Eagerly waiting for the Messiah. Are you eagerly waiting for Jesus' return to not rescue you, but to come get you as a betrothed bride unto himself? Because that's the key. To come and rescue Israel, right? That's what when we talked about that before. What were they thinking about rescuing Israel from the Romans? No, rescue Israel from the sin of man, one's heart. They didn't get it. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Wait a minute, I thought the Holy Spirit didn't come out until after the Pentecost, 50 days after. Nope, Holy Spirit was there from day one, right? And had revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? You're waiting all of these centuries, Abraham, everybody, when's the Messiah coming? David, Samuel, whatever, all of these guys were waiting to get through. And what do we get? You're going to live to see the Messiah? Do you wonder what his heart would have been thinking about, mind would have been thinking about the Lord, the Holy Spirit? Did I get this right? Is this going to happen? And then when he gets to see him, it happens. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord, as the law required. Hold this a second, though. That day the Spirit led him. Remember how we talked about getting used to listening to the Holy Spirit and practicing that? I am telling you thousandfold. Listen, learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely imperative. You're not listening to a prophet like many people think a pastor or a teacher is. God's speaking to him, he's speaking to us. No, he speaks to you directly. You don't go through anybody else. My job is just here to teach, coach, motivate, whatever that is to teach, to pastor, to tend. Feed, tend, take care of the flock, which is tend. Get used to listening to him. He'll move in ways that you're like, this doesn't make sense. I'll tell you the story. I've told it quite a few times. I'll make it quick. 7-Eleven type of setup. A lady was young gal. She was like, oh, I want you to go do a handstand in front of the concessions machine at the local 7-Eleven. It could have been something else. She's like, all right, Lord, this sounds goofy, but I'm doing it. She goes up, she does a handstand, she walks in, freaking out, I'm sure, does the handstand in front of the soda machine, and then gets up. And the guy asked her on the way out, says, why did you do that? She said, the Lord told me to do that. You see, the guy said, I don't believe you, Lord, but if you're there, make somebody go stand upside down in front of a concession machine. So every day today, I want to have all y'all go out to, no, I'm kidding. where am I? And so that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. Why? Because the timing was right. God showed up at the last minute. No, he did not. He showed up at the exact minute. It looked like the last minute because we're not used to waiting on him. And we panic and we go through all this stuff. Lord, Lord, Lord. Oh, dude, chill out. I'm here. You're here. Chill. Boom. He showed up at the last minute. No, this was my minute. You freaked out till the last minute. That's when you surrendered. Right? Next slide, please. Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. You have, as you have promised. Ouch. Can you imagine? You've been waiting your whole life for that Savior. You've been waiting your whole life knowing that God has told you you're going to see him before you die. And then all of a sudden, you get him and you're holding that Savior in your arms. Do you know what his heart was doing? Father's heart. We talk a lot about a mother's heart. I'm going to tell you, a father's heart has a whole different beat to it. And holding that child, holding that Savior, holding the same Holy Spirit-driven child that was flipping John the Baptist around and making his mom feel that, or Holy Spirit extending rather, holding that child. I can die in peace because God's promises have come true. That was when he was told an Ebenezer for him now. An Ebenezer is a rock of remembrance. You hear that song, and we raise our Ebenezers. It's not your Ebenezers. It's your seeing of the God of God being faithful in the situation that you've been going through. You guys have many Ebenezers in your life, some little bitty, some super huge, some as big as the mountains. I have seen your salvation, he says in verse 30, which you have prepared all the people. He is a light to reveal to God and to the nations. This is out of Isaiah. And he is the glory to your people, Israel. So look at here, it says, to the nations. You notice that it's plural? It's not just Israel, it's all of us. It's y'all. You know how many y'all is? However many you're talking to, right? And it's y'all. This is to all y'all. And he's the glory of our people, Israel, as Paul said, first to the Jew and then the Gentile in Romans 1:16. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Why? Because they're seeing prophecy being spoken externally. They've already been told by the angel what was going to happen, right? Joseph heard it too. Joseph was tweaked. And then he goes over there and in a dream he hears from Gabriel say, hey, you're going to have a son. Don't worry about it. Name him Jesus. I got this. Right? He wakes up and boom, we're good. And Jesus had a stepdad. Do you know that? Jesus, so Joseph wasn't his daddy. Joseph was his stepdaddy. Oh, light. Did you feel the brilliance? It's okay. I love it. I love that you get, you know what? Sometimes we forget, huh? Yeah, or sometimes we don't see it in that way. But see, God knows what he's doing. We don't always know what he's doing, but he's doing. That's why I love when Jesus was, he was teaching. And they came up from, I think, the sheep gate? And they said, hey, your parents are outside, your family is outside the sheep gate. And he goes, let me talk to you about family. Amen. He says, I want you to know that the ones who love me are your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. He's making a distinction of what family looks like. Look, blood family can be rough, right? Yes, no? Doesn't mean that they're unworthy of salvation. But I have to tell you, through Jesus' lens, you know what I mean when I say lens, looking through his eyes, the ones that love him are family. Amen. And we take family as we take it. And you know something? The big and most important thing about family is you love people where they're at, not where you think they ought to be, because that's judgmental. Look, if somebody's messing up, my past had a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. A lot of massive failure, critical failure in life. And guess what? Jesus has forgiven me all of that. Now, I still have consequences, and he has forgiven me all of that. And he's allowed that freedom, and he's forgiven you of everything as well. Look, if somebody is kind of messing up with their bodies, maybe they're putting stuff in it that doesn't belong. Maybe they're putting stuff in front of their eyes that don't belong, in their mouth that doesn't belong, with the physicality of their bodies that's not the way God designed them to be. We still love people where they are at. Let the Holy Spirit make the change, because he will. Dude, he changed me, and I was not a young man. I was old. Then Simon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall." Yeah? "And many others to rise." Did you notice he didn't say Rome? There's something there, y'all. You want your government? I don't care if it was the last overseer of government or this overseer of government. That is not as important as the kingdom of God. We are important to be obvious about our citizenship in this country. We need to be good citizens. We need to help people when they're down. We need to help people along the way. We need to feed the hungry, poor, and the challenged. We need to talk to them about Jesus, and we need to love them like Christ. Because what did he say? "When you did to the least of these, you've done it to me." Right? That's how it rolls. "He has been sent as a sign from God," but watch this. How many? Will, that's a desire of the heart, oppose him, come into opposition of the fulfillment of the law. You understand he's the fulfillment of the law. You don't think so? What about that 8-day circumcision thing, right? "As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." That's the rub. It's not Rome. "And a sword will pierce your very soul." The sword, what is the sword of? You know, the full armor of God? Please. "Anna," now here's another. We had the one, now we got an Anna her. "Prophet," about 84 years old, y'all, "was there in the temple." She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. And she was very, what? Do it right. Old, right? Yeah, girls have whiskers. Her husband died. You girls are laughing because you know it's true. You ought to let them grow. Let me tell you, that'll keep your lip warm. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. She lived her life without her husband. Isn't that something? I know it isn't all. Go ahead. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night. She stayed there. Watch. She's 84. Maybe she married 14. So that's what? 70 years. The guy died 7 in. She's 67 years. Roughly call it 65. What is she doing? She's in the temple. What? When? And what's she doing along the way? Dude, you think she's devout? Do you think she's dialed in to seeing the things of what the Lord's wanting to do? And he honored her in that. Now look, you may be going through a period of fasting and praying consistently where you're in your temple. Because we don't deal with a physical temple anymore. We walk in it, right? Your human bag. Does it look like this? Because I got to tell you, this Miss Hannah, she's a beast. That woman is in the temple. You women, since it's kind of rolling up on Mother's Day, in your temple bag, that you're there day and night worshiping God and fasting and prayer. "Well, I got a work to do. I got to be on the phones or on the keyboard. I got to chase kids around, woo, get them going, you know, whatever." Yeah, well, you can still be worshiping in the midst of that. Because Paul says, pray without ceasing. You know what he's saying? Dude, don't stop. I got you. I want you this. Right? Please. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. And she began praising God. Why? She got close to that little fella, right? Because he's just a little fella. He didn't have huggies. Mama changed him. Don't get weird. That's just what happened. He came in human form. All right, Dave, I don't get that part. Let me tell you about human form. He came to human form because of being a kinsman redeemer. If you had something against you, whether it was the law, whatever it may be, from there, you had a cup of judgment, a cup of judgment, right? And only people that were true kin to you could take that cup of judgment away from you so you could be free. Do you see the idea of the humanity of Christ? He came to be like us in flesh. Remember, always remember, he wasn't having the hypovolemic sweat on his brow necessarily because of the cross. It was every sin that ever happened, past, present, and future, that's in that cup. Because he said, let this cup, say it with me, let this cup pass from me, but if it's your will. Do you understand? He didn't say cross, he said cup. Kinsman Redeemer can take that. That's why that cross, and for you guys online, we got a horseshoe cross over here and a regular wood cross over there. That cross, that's why it's, to me, I look at it so importantly. It's not as important as the resurrection or the stone. It's just important because that is the line of delineation in your lives, period. So maybe you're doing wrong things with your body. Maybe you're doing wrong things in relationships. Maybe you're doing some things. Maybe you're living a checkbox Christianity because I did all of this today and I did it just right. But your heart is not dialed into Jesus. Your heart is not dialed into the Holy Spirit. Dude, he just wants you lock, stock, and barrel. He wants you all. And you hear that song, I surrender all. You hear that song before? Oh, do we? Yeah, some days we do. Some days I do. When the Broncos lose, I'm not surrendering all. I'm still. No. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Right? Not horses. No, Broncos. So she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue them. She went out and evangelized. The word evangelize is we get the word good news. It's the euangelion. The euangelion is that good news, the war is over. The Russians aren't going to beat the Mesopotamians, right? Whatever that war could be. We're in a battle with somebody. Good news, the war is over. We're not fighting here anymore. And everybody goes, oh, that's so great. They're not going to take our men. They're not going to kill the older men and take the young ones 15 and under and put them into battle. Oh, good. They're not going to take all of the women and the girls and put them into some form of, not indentured servant, but servitude. The good news, the war with you fighting with God is done. She evangelized from what she saw, if I could have that former screen. She spoke about it. Listen, she spoke about it. Why? She had been in the temple day and night. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May I be a sweet, sweet sound to your ear. She's praising him. Dude, I know some of you. Some of you guys praise all the time. I can't match her. Nobody asked you to. Just be you, doing you, praising him, and do it through and through. You know, she talked about the child to who? Look up. Look up. Who did she talk to? Say it like Sandlot style. Everyone. How long did she do it, Sandlot style? Forever. To everyone who had been waiting expectantly. He's here. He's coming. I saw him today. I got baptized today. My son got dedicated. My child was dedicated to the work of the Lord. Why are you doing this? You look like a fool. Thank you. Because we're a peculiar people. We're peculiar because the world doesn't see us in that way. Next slide, please. Thank you. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to where? What good can come from? Okay, now we're saying what good can come from? Fill in your town. What good can come from? In Galilee. So it'd be like Fort Lupton in Colorado. There the child grew up healthy and strong, and he was filled with what? Filled with what? God's favor on him. Listen, God's favor was on him. Why? He's Son of God. It's him. It's all the above. I don't get into the Trinity discussion too much. It's kind of complex. You know, I don't need to know much. You guys know, obviously, a favorite character that we study in Bible is Jesus. My second favorite character is Joseph. And a paper thin next to him is that Roman centurion. You remember the one that had the sick one? And he said, let me come to your house. He goes, no, bro. He says, I send people here. I make them go there. I bring them to. I tell them to come. They come. I tell them to go. They go. Right? I'm a man under authority. You say it's done. It's done. And he said to the followers, disciples, he said, in all of Israel, because this guy's a Roman guy, right? In all of Israel, I haven't seen a faith like this man. I haven't seen a faith like this man. In all of Israel, that's God talking, Jesus. Not like that guy. That guy knew the authority of God. Do you understand? That guy knew. You know his authority. Oh, and by the way, he says, go. What you said today happens this very hour. We would say in our colloquial, that happened just a minute ago. Well, that'll happen this very minute. Meaning that happened. And you know that guy is walking away kicking stones and having a good time because he was concerned over his charge. That's just the introduction. I'm kidding. It is, but we'll leap out of it. Dave, I can't do this. We got food to go get. Well, okay. The deal is this. What are you growing up with? Is your faith like Anna and like Simeon, trusting for God's promises as they come? Why are you worrying about what you eat or what you wear? That's what the pagans do. That's what the godless, and that doesn't mean you're godless as it's a cuss word or something. They just don't have God. We call them the yet, not yets, the yetters. The yetters don't have that. They don't have him yet. When they get him, they'll have him, right? You are an evangelist. You're the bearer of the good news. Act like it. Jesus gave you a couple of commissions. One on Maundy Thursday, M-A-U-N-D-Y, which is all of the law encompassed. You know, some would say, well, what's the greatest law of all the commandments? And he took the Ten Commandments and broke the first down and said, love God, love people in the next six, right? Next five, rather. And he combined them together and he says, yeah, but you know what's greater than those? Because all of the law and what the prophet says hangs on this. Love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another. This is your calling card from me to you, to the not yets. Are we clear? As mud or as clear as holy water? Yeah, right? It's water set aside. Look, dude. You guys have everything you need. You don't have to be a massive philosopher. You don't have to be a theologian. You do need to have Christ as your lead. You do need to have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, look, this is easy. Take a deep breath through your nose on three. One, two, three. Blow it out your mouth. Give me one more. One, two, three. Blow it out your mouth. That way you won't yawn. Having the Holy Spirit is everything. We just talked last week about the stone being rolled away. Yeah, the Easter eggs cracked open is like the stone being rolled away. The sweetness is out, nothing left but an empty tomb. Stone rolled away for the people to see. Jesus was already out, clothes laid bare. He got him a new set of heaven threads. All you need is the same Holy Spirit that created this earth, that spoke to the prophets, that still speak to you this very day. How can I get there, Dave? Ask. Seek. Knock. It's simple. Ask. Holy Spirit, I don't know nothing about what this dude said today. Well, just ask. Here, try this. Can I give you the simplest form? Anybody got a Bible? Paper one? Paper? Okay. Open it up. Just open it up and say, Holy Spirit, show me what this passage says. Say that. Boom. It starts there. He will make things known, and he'll do all the work. And guess what you have to do? You are the usher in the old theater days. You know, go into a theater. Some of you that have silver hair, white hair. Some of you have colored silver and white hair. You'd have somebody that would walk you in, and they would usher you to your seat. And they would sit there, and there'd be a seat down there, and they'd have their flashlight and with a little cone on the end, and they'd show the light where you were to walk and go sit down. You get any of y'all remember that at all? Some of you youngers won't at all, right? Because you got lights and you can barely see your, because you got the thing in your face. That's all you had to do, is usher people to the Word. The Holy Spirit does all of the work. Look, practice it. My remedial practice is when you get to your next stop sign, ask which way the Lord wants you to turn. And you get a sense about turning a specific way. It may be the same way you've gone every day. Or if he has you go a different way, buck your system and follow him. I've had times where I did it my way and I'm sitting in traffic going, why didn't I listen? Because I didn't trust him in the little. You mean the God of all the universe has time to heal your broken toenail? Yes. Do you, God, are he going to help you with directions to avoid a traffic jam? Yeah. What if you're in a traffic jam? Prayer time. Bible study time. Never a problem. Average stoplight is 41 seconds. People get really miffed if they have to wait much longer than that. Amen? Yeehaw? Okay, so let me ask you, here's the what'd you see, what'd you hear? What'd you see, what'd you hear? Look at your notes. Ask, hey, watch this, practice this. Ask the Holy Spirit what he showed you. Just ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know? So what did he show you? Jump. Don't wait, I'm going to point you out. Point everybody out. Go ahead. Three.
Actually a commandment. Jesus actually warns about it. Also, I do think that this the distinction between reconciliation.
It's a whole other word.
You know, because I think they're two different things in many situations.
Forgiveness. Let me tell you one thing about forgiveness. You open up a door on this. Let me tell you about forgiveness. Who do we trust with the outcome of forgiveness?
Jesus.
Absolutely. Listen. This is the scripture. He says, "Vengeance is mine, so saith the Lord." And he's saying himself, I will repay. Now, you have these forgiveness opportunities that are out there. And as much as it's up to you, you forgive. And you may have to go back to that a few times in your heart, right? The adjudication that you're wanting has to be left unto the Lord. Because whatever is adjudicated on your terms will not be satiatedly sufficient. It'll pale. It'll absolutely pale. Here's an easy way to say that. He's your problem, Lord. I'm not going to put another heartbeat to it. Because I got stuff to do. Okay, what else? Good one. Go ahead. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead. Real loud.
There's an old song that says, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy.
Trust and obey. Do you know the people that are that you're at odds with that makes forgiveness kind of hard? Do you understand that they haven't sinned against you? They first sinned against God. You're just the benefactor of that absence of connection. It's not easy forgiving people. It's just not. But it's a lot more easy or a lot more tolerable when we let the Lord lead in that. Lead in that. Anybody else? What you got? Go ahead, sis. I'm not going to make you cry.
Just trusting in the Lord.
Just trusting in the Lord. How about you, little daughter? What did God show you? One little thing. Ask him right now. Say, God, what did you show me today? We'll wait. Do you want to talk to Mama about it? Help me, Mom. How about you? What did you guys pick up? any one of you?
To trust anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to be kind of like the Simeon and the Annas?
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of cool, huh? Stand on God's promises. How about you, brother? That's something. You just gloss over it because you've read it or heard it 1,000 times. That's where the Holy Spirit, please show me. Where something seems peculiar. Lord, why is that peculiar? You know, I was going, what's with the eighth day for the circumcision? Why'd they wait 8 days? 7 days creation, all things are made new on the eighth day. I mean, it's the same parallel. All things are made new with Christ on the eighth day. Because they would call the ascension, or not the ascension, the stone day, that's the eighth day. The other 7 days have already come. That was the newness of life coming there, so. All the signs of the little things that they did systematically because God thought that up, all those little signs systematically are chronically pointing to Christ. You know, there's a medical side to the circumcision on the eighth day. That's when the healing powers within the body are at their peak, is circa day eight. I'm like, God, you're so wild. You know all this stuff. What'd you get, brother? Did you hear what he said? He said he heard the part about when I said, you don't have to be like Anna, just do you, him through you, right?
And it just kind of Real,
you may have to yell a little bit for our heart of hearing.
It just kind of like stood out to me like in a general aspect of like your path may not be at the same rate or speed or, you know, as advanced as the person next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay as long as that love and
it's okay. You know, he says run a race. I always look at it. Mary's pretty competitive, right? You guys know that? Okay, she is if you didn't. So if she's outpacing me with her Lord, I'm like, I'm not going to let her beat me. I want to get in that word a little bit more. How about your birthday, girl? What did God show you? That'll be the last one. Maybe. We still got a little girl here. Again, please. Oh, eager to spread the good news? Uh-huh. Good to know.
And